Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. Let me say Merry Christmas Eve to everyone. Grateful that you've joined us on the Drivecast today. I'm going to read from Genesis 3, verses 21 through 24, and I'm going to just give you a heads up. This is an odd passage at first, seemingly, for Christmas Eve. This is after the fall of mankind. Adam and Eve have sinned and turned away from the Lord, and God has pronounced judgment on Adam, on Eve, on the serpent. But then it says this, that the Lord God made for Adam, verse 21, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them, or covered them. And then the Lord God said, behold, the man has now become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And the text kind of stops abruptly there, almost like God doesn't even finish the thought. And it says, therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Chapter 3 ends tragically with Adam and Eve driven out of the garden, away from the presence of the Lord in a lot of ways, out of Eden. And it would seem like, you know, if the Bible ended there, it would just be very sad. But what is so hopeful is that back in Genesis 3, verse 15, God gave a promise that someday someone would be born of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And then there in verse 21, it says, the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And many commentators and theologians talk about this is sort of the first sacrificial act, right, where animals would have had to have been killed and their blood shed in order to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, to cover their shame in a sense, and a reminder that God still loves them, that God still cares about them. And so you say, what does this have to do with Christmas, right? The birth of Jesus Christ, when you go to the Gospels and you see Matthew, for example, saying, right, the virgin shall conceive, and he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, the virgin shall conceive and shall give birth, and they shall call him the Son. They shall call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Genesis chapter 3 ends with the people, Adam and Eve, being away from the presence of God. But as we've been studying through our Christmas series, right, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Christ, God incarnates himself and comes and dwells among us. And Jesus Christ is the one who was foretold, the one promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He is the snake crusher, the one who comes and crushes the head of Satan, destroys and defeats death and hell and sin, takes sin upon himself, washes us clean, makes a way for us to be back in right relationship with God, and he is the ultimate sacrifice. Genesis chapter 3, 21, God takes the skins, the garments of an animal, and covers their sin and their shame in a sense. Jesus is that ultimate covering for us, his blood shed in order for us to be washed clean, and we are now clothed in his righteousness. Christmas reminds us, right, that God so loved us that he sent his own son into the world. And while we celebrate at Christmas time the birth of Jesus, Jesus coming into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, in a sense we also look through and past Christmas to Easter time, when Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin, and he rose again that we might have new life with God, that we might, through Christ, be brought back into right relationship with the Lord, back into his presence, and his Holy Spirit comes and now dwells in us. That's so much that we have to celebrate here at Christmas time. So I want to take a moment, I want to pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take a moment to pray that even now, many of us have appointments we have to go to today, whether we're going to church services or we're going to family gatherings or both. There's a lot of activity oftentimes on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and I just pray that in the midst of the activity, we would turn our attention to the Lord, we would enjoy him, and we would thank him for Jesus, God with us. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We thank you from the earliest pages of Scripture. We see that, Lord, you do love your people, that you provide for us. God, that you've made a way for us to be covered, to be clothed in your righteousness. And we thank you that you've done that through the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, today I pray that our attention would be turned heavenward, that our attention would be our thoughts fixed on Christ and on who he is, and that, Lord, in the midst of our gatherings and eating meals together and giving gifts to one another, all good things, that, Father, we would see those good things and we would praise the giver of those good things, you, our Father in heaven. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now to think over that and then to pray for yourself and to center your mind on the Lord.